light clear with some patchy fog overnight, low temperatures in the 30s, and again, light easterly winds are expected.
FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It's 8:04. Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday. Thank you for joining us midway through the week. Going to be another sunny day in the area today. Is the calendar says January, but it seems like it's more like early April. But I expect something will change at some point. We'll see. Here's what we're doing this morning. We're busy this morning. Leslie Naramore from Mid-Columbia Community Action, Al Barton from Mid-Columbia Center for Living are with us. We're going to talk about the annex and some of those units being dedicated to permanent supportive housing. You may be going, what is permanent supportive housing? Well, that's what we'll talk about here in a few minutes, so we'll do a definition for you. Second half of the show, Darren Ryan, Raul Marquez, Hood River County Health Department are going to join us. Going to talk about Medicaid registrations and things like that, which seems like it should be simple enough, but we know better, don't we? So we'll do all that on the show. But first, let us tell you about what this day has meant and what it means at least to some people. 1784, the U.S. ratified the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War. Britain would follow suit in April. 1943, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and French General Charles de Gaulle opened a wartime conference in Casablanca, Morocco. 1952, the Today Show premiered on NBC. Dave Garraway was the host. 1963, George C. Wallace sworn in as governor of Alabama with the pledge, quote, this was 1963, folks, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever, a view he would later repudiate. 1967, the Summer of Love unofficially began with a human be-in involving tens of thousands of young people at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. 1970, Diana Ross and the Supremes performed their last concert together at the Frontier Hotel in Las Vegas. 1994, President Bill Clinton, Russian President Boris Yeltsin, and Ukrainian President Leonid Kravchuk signed the trilateral statement in accord to dismantle the nuclear arsenal of Ukraine. And this day in 2013, Lance Armstrong ended a decade of denial by confessing to Oprah Winfrey during a videotaped interview, yes, he used performance-enhancing drugs to win the Tour de France 7 times. Days for today. It's International Kite Day, which not going to be windy around here. It's going to be windy in a couple days, so you may be able to celebrate then. Okay, this one, I really, unless you have a reason like keeping them warm, something like that, I can't go along with this. It's National Dress Up Your Pet Day. Now, if you are if your young child does it, that's fine. But you're, I agree with what Jay Leno used to say. I don't think your dog really wants to be dressed up, okay? I'm sorry. I mean, I get it if you're, you know, trying to put a rain jacket on because they're out there walking in the rain. I get that, but just a little thing of mine. It's also Organize Your Home Day today, which we all probably could do in some way or another. One food note today. But this is a really, really good one as far as I'm concerned. It's National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. I think I know what I'm having for lunch. I just figured it out. I love that. That just sounds really good. A nice hot pastrami sandwich. I know where to go to get one, too. It is 8:08 in the morning. I'm in Columbia today. We'll come back right after this.
Hi there, I'm Sonny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. The new year is here. Let Sky handle your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Plus, right now, you can get up to $100 off any repair and keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCB number 245538. Washington license, SKYHEHA 7635M.
Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. The Mid-Columbia Community Action Council has opened its warming shelter in Hood River on 1733 Oak Street. This warming shelter is staffed and open 24/7 with 24 beds that are filled on a first-come, first-served basis. Intake hours for new guests are between 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays. The warming shelter will be open until March of 2026. All residents in need in Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties are welcome. Individualized support services are provided. There will also be warming supplies at the Gloria Center at 2505 West 7th Street in the Dalles and at the Mid-Columbia Community Action Council's Hood River office at 606 State Street, Suite 1B. The Mid-Columbia Community Action Council is a private nonprofit supporting our community with programs that target and eliminates poverty and homelessness. More information is available at mccac.com.
We ask seniors how to prevent Medicare scams.
If you get a phone call, do not talk to the person.
Never give out your Medicare number.
They're going to get your number to put in a false claim.
Just hang up.
How do you detect Medicare fraud?
Just like I check my credit card statements, I check my Medicare statements monthly.
If you get your statement and you see something that you know you did not have done, you report it.
Call the Senior Medicare Patrol.
To report Medicare fraud, call 800-699-9043.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is 8:10 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We are now joined by Leslie Naramore, Mid-Columbia Community Action, Al Barton, Mid-Columbia Center for Living. And we are going to talk about permanent supportive housing at the Annex. And good morning to both of you, first of all. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And let's jump in here. I guess I'll go right with the first basic question is, when I say permanent supportive housing, what am I saying?
Just what it sounds like.
Okay.
So it's permanent housing, and then we are providing wraparound supports to what would now be tenants. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like 21 units out there, if I remember the number correctly.
Yeah, so that's what's getting turned into permanent supportive housing.
So how many units do you have total out there?
54.
So I guess, first of all, what led to the decision to make this step and this change? I would assume, are you seeing a change in population, a change in need, things like that?
Well, I think Al could maybe speak to this also, but there's been a history where that was kind of always the plan, because the grant funding that we have that we use to support the residents of the Annex isn't going to last forever. Right. And so we needed to have a way to keep things running. And so this provides income that will go directly back into the programs of the Annex.
Mm-hmm. So how does, and this for either one of you, how does this move get supported then in terms of on the money side? I mean, that's, as you said, you had grant funding that's going to run out. And Alan, this is probably where you can jump in on this, definitely, is I take it there are different pots of money available to pay for this.
Yeah, we have some funding that supports especially peer services. You know, those are folks that have rather than someone who went to graduate school or nursing school, these are folks that have usually an amazing lived experience, an amazing recovery experience. And so we've hired a number of those folks, and those folks are super cost effective and super, really can relate to the individuals who live at the Annex. And so that's the plan. Is, yeah, we've budgeted out and parceled out enough money to cover the supports. Because it's one thing to say, here's a house you can live in forever, permanent.
Sure.
It's another to say, you know, if I have a disability of any kind, right? If I have trouble walking or I have trouble breathing, a lot of the clients at Center for Living, you know, they have trouble with their mental health, and like any other disability, they need supports. And sometimes those supports are very minimal. You know, I check in once in a while, and some folks need a couple times a day. You know, they might have trouble with managing anger, or they get disoriented, or they get confused. So again, just like any other disabled folks, we want to provide kind of in-home supports for those people, and that's what we'll be supporting.
Leslie, I think if I remember correctly from when this was announced, the people who will at least be initially tenants for the supportive housing, they were already there, weren't they?
Yeah, they're mostly people who are already there, so we're not going to be displacing anyone. And I think that's something that I really want people to understand, because when we initially announced this, I don't think that people understood that it's only part of the annex. It's not the whole thing. And so there are still people who will be participating in the transitional piece and will also be moving into those units when they become available.
What is the turnover rate at the annex right now?
I don't know that I can tell you the turnover rate, but I can tell you the length of the average stay.
That works. Okay. That's the same thing, essentially.
So, about 4 months is the average stay.
Okay. Would you expect that will change for these units?
Oh, absolutely. Because they'll become tenants and they'll hold a lease with us.
Okay.
And so, you know, they can now stay there as long as they're paying rent.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of services are we talking about here? I mean, obviously there's the behavioral health and mental health that we'll get to in a second with Al here. But I assume there's other services as well, because you termed it wraparound services. And they tend to be varied. Mm-hmm. I know usually you adjust with the tenant, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we do have case managers on site and a peer support specialist on site. So, you know, the peer support specialist might be someone who is helping them navigate using the bus and, like, getting to appointments, getting to their doctor, things like that. So when we say wraparound services, we truly do mean wraparound services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned the lease part of this. I am curious, because when I think of transitional housing as the annex is and the other 33 units will remain, my thought is always, and again, knowing the housing picture in the Gorge and the difficulty in this, is this isn't intended to be a permanent place to stay. It's a place to help people get on their feet and help them with the issues they have, and then find their next place to live where they can go on and live their lives independently.
Mm-hmm.
This seems, at least to someone on the outside, is a bit of a change with these units.
It is, but also I think people are still going to move through. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's still small quarters. It's a studio apartment. We're installing kitchenettes so that they'll be able to prepare their own food now. But there, it's not a place that I think people are going to want to stay forever. It's still very small. Mm-hmm. So I think there will still be a piece of it that is transitional, even within the units that are considered permanent.
Mm-hmm. So how long a lease do you do with these folks?
It'll be a year.
It'll be 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay. Al, the services they'll be provided to these folks. I mean, I know every case is different, so obviously there'll be different services for different people. But what will be typical?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing is that obviously, you know, we can't mandate services, but obviously with those supports, that's one of the real benefits of having, you know, folks like Kim on site, right, on board, because it could run the range of, you know, if they need medication management, maybe they need a psychiatric medication to manage schizophrenia or severe bipolar disorder. You know, those can be disabling conditions. So it could be medication management, you know, with a psychiatrist, which is a doctor or a nurse practitioner. It could be traditional counseling, you know, sitting in an office and talking, learning new skills. It could be drug and alcohol supports. You know, oftentimes people have what we call a co-occurring problem. They have a mental health, like depression, and a drinking problem. And so a drug and alcohol counselor is available. Again, like Leslie was talking about, the case management folks, you know, they're kind of the barrier busters. Like, is it about food? Is it about, you know, power? Is it about appointments? And so, and then peer services. So that's the continuum of care. And then obviously, you know, if they had, we have a whole host of services. If they had an opioid addiction, we have rapid access for medication and nursing care to support that. And then we have a bunch of specialized programs, you know, if they're involved with the jail, maybe they're on probation. So it really is, like Leslie was, the idea is to wrap around is what Mark needs, you know, might be very simple. And what Leslie and Al need is very complex. And Leslie and Al have a team of, you know, six or seven people. Mark has, you know, checks in with Kim every other day. So it really can vary.
Yeah. We probably should know who Kim is. Oh. We've been a little familiar here. Who is Kim?
Sorry.
Either one of you.
Kim works at the Annex.
Okay.
And so we have a very close partnership with Center for Living. She is a Center for Living employee, but her office is at the Annex. So she's on site every day.
She's kind of a site supervisor, if you will, to an somewhat extent.
I think it's, you know, kind of, if you think about a Swiss Army knife, it could be, I mean, it could be simple socialization. It could be, you know, having kind of what we might call crucial conversations, like, hey, you know, Mark, you were a little loud last night. Let's talk about what to do if you're loud. It could be nudging people. Again, the peers are not, you know, they're not doctors or lawyers. And so it could be just talking about, I'm not here to lecture you about, you know, maybe, you know, they've noticed that they found a bunch of bottles in the trash and let's talk about your drinking. So they really are kind of a Swiss Army knife of lots of different skill sets, but very much a different relationship than, you know, than a doctor would have or a counselor. So she's a superstar.
You know, Al mentioned, you know, you can't mandate people do the services, at least, I mean, he can't. But are there requirements in the leases to be involved?
Well, that's hard to, I mean, not really, because like any lease, you know, of course there are certain things that you have to do. You have to take care of the place, things like that. But once they hold a lease, we can't mandate those services in the same way that we do while they're enrolled in transitional housing, because that's a program. So, you know, that's where Kim and her skill set is going to come in handy, is that she's really, really good at getting people to talk to her. So, you know, they're not going to be mandated to talk to her, but she's still going to be having those conversations with her because they respect her as someone who they know will help them.
I guess I do sit there as, again, from the outside, where I'm going, okay, I want to see these people move on to be productive people in society, however you want to phrase that. And as you said, the transitional housing, you know, let's face it, there are some people who need the prod, who need the you know, they need to be, have this, the it's the carrot and stick thing, and sometimes, you know, they have to be basically forced to take a path. And then, I mean, often when they get down that path, then they can go on their own, and they're able to navigate it.
Sure.
And I guess a little concerned about, you know, who gets the opportunity to do this.
Well, I think I do want to address productive member of society. Yeah. I think that that's different things for different people.
Sure.
If you're disabled, you becoming a productive member of society means you got signed up for Social Security and now you don't have to worry about
it. Which is a little different category than I'm thinking of here.
Sure.
You know, someone who's disabled, they just have this issue that they have to deal with and live with, and they do so. And those are the folks I want to give as much help as I can to, because you know, there's no fault of their own in this situation for the most part. But if we get to the behavioral health side, now I get a little bit more, okay, I want to see these folks be able to, I want to see them get the help they need, and and knowing that sometimes they don't always make the best choices.
Through no fault of their own. I mean, imagine you're a schizophrenic person, so you have a constant barrage of voices in your head, you know? Yeah. So those are, I think it's just important to remember that everybody's fighting their own battle and they all have different weapons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes me a little uncomfortable when we talk about productive, because I think that's just so different for everyone.
But then, I mean, well, there has to be an outcome goal at some point, doesn't there?
Sure. Yeah. I think our goal is to stabilize them, you know, and that means different things for different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one way to think about it, Mark, we help our staff think about it, is, you know, if you think about it in traditional medicine, you know, you have your doctor, your nurse practitioner you see maybe once a year if you get sick. But then some people need, you know, theologist. They need a cardiologist, a neurologist, right? Those folks, a lot of times they're really just, the goal in those, in more severe cases, is just to keep people at the base. Let's not decline.
Oh, yeah.
And let's, I mean, maybe recovery, full recovery isn't going to be an option, but at least we're not going downhill. My blood sugar and my, you know, disability isn't.
Well, actually, on the physical health side, because of course your organization is mental and behavioral, Leslie, on the physical health side, when we talk about this sort of thing, what sort of supports do you have, are you able to provide for them or give them access to?
Well, so we're going to act as a community health worker in that case and help them navigate.
Yeah.
So, like, do they need to get signed up for Oregon Health Plan? Do they need help getting to their doctor's appointment? Do they need someone in that appointment who can help them remember everything that the doctor told them?
Yeah.
So our role in that is navigating for them, but they're still the person who is taking the action.
I said, you guys, I assume you partner probably as an organization. I assume one, Community Health. You know, that's the one I think of right away that would be the obvious partner in this.
They are. They are a valued partner. They actually bring the mobile medical unit on site at the annex, and people can receive medical services on site there.
Mm-hmm. So the transition to this, to, I probably shouldn't use the word transition because I confuse it with transitional housing. Permanent supportive housing. Mm-hmm. Is this underway now? I can't remember when this got sent out. It was a few, before I went on vacation.
So we have started construction. Okay. So I think we have 8 units under construction right now. Mm-hmm. And then once those are finished, then we'll start the next 4. It's kind of, the way that the annex is set up, we have to do a certain number at a time because of the plumbing and everything. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to do all the units at the same time and then have this big gap in services. So we're trying to do 4 or 8 at a time. The first 8 are under construction.
Well, I assume by doing it that way, you're able to kind of manage this where I assume you're somewhat displacing or maybe you're able to move them into units that right now are vacant in the annex.
Yeah, so we have been really mindful of making sure that we do have a space open to move people into while the rooms are under construction.
Mm-hmm. So how long will it take to get all 21 finished? I mean,
boy, that's a good question.
Okay, I as a homeowner, I understand this part of it completely.
And the annex is an old hotel, right?
And goodness knows what they'll find the more they rip up.
Every time they open a wall, we get it like, oh my God, do you know what's in here?
So it'll take a little while.
Yeah. I mean, our goal is April, but we'll see what happens.
So as far as redoing, what do you have to do to these units to redo them, actually, as I think about
so
it?
So right now we're installing kitchenettes, but that does mean getting into the plumbing. And then every time we get into the plumbing, there are issues. We're also in the process of replacing all of the old shower casings because a lot of them were that original tile that was from the 50s. And so they're not holding up very well. So we're also replacing the shower casings as we're working through. And then just, minor repairs as we're finding them. Mm-hmm. Or they could end up being major. It really depends on the room.
Again, everybody who owns property and a house is understanding the language there. So, do you anticipate, I remember when you took this job here a few months ago, one of the things you talked about was kind of not embarking on a lot of changes right now because the organization, Midcombe Community Action, grew so fast so quickly.
Right.
I take it after this, it's going to be okay. Let's see how this goes for a while and let it run from there.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, my best intentions often go awry, so we'll see.
One thing real quick here, just because we had it on the news this morning. Point in time count.
Yeah.
You're going to embark in 2 weeks. And explain how you go about this. You're counting the people who are homeless, houseless.
Yeah.
How does this work? I know it's important for your federal money.
Yeah, so we need to have that count because that does help determine how many funds our region receives. And so we do this count every year. It is mandated throughout the entire U.S., so every city is conducting a point-in-time count. We try to incentivize people to fill out the information because it is a survey at the end of the day, and people get surveyed to death. Yeah. And so we offer warming bundles and gift cards and just try to really incentivize them filling out that paperwork. Mm-hmm. And then that paperwork gets collected, it gets all reported to the state, and then that is kind of what determines our funding moving through the next year.
And also, I assume helps probably a little bit with planning as well when you get these numbers and gives you...
Absolutely.
It's a one-night count, I know, so it's not exactly... It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but it also gives us a snapshot year to year on, are we being successful? Are more people becoming houseless?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives you, again, kind of a guidepost for your own planning as well.
Exactly.
As you go along. Leslie Naramore, Mid-Columbia Community Action, Al Barton, Mid-Columbia Center for Living. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
It is now 8:27 in the morning. We'll come back and get you the news for you right after this.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cash back app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and you can get up to a $5 $5 cash back bonus on your first tank.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code STATE5 to get up to a $5 cash back bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code STATE5 to get up to a $5 cash back bonus on your first tank. That's code STATE5 for up to a $5 cash back bonus.
Never have I ever called my sister from the finish line of my first marathon.
Hello?
You won't believe where I am.
Are you running?
Mile 26. I'm going to make it.
Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e with its advanced camera system on us. Plus, two lines for just $30 a line.
Guys, I can't believe it.
I knew you could do it, babe.
That was amazing.
Mom, how do you feel?
I feel great. I can't feel my feet. Let's take a picture. And then you may carry me to the car.
Share every stride, every mile, every memory on America's best network. Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e on us. And two lines for just $30 a line.
With 24-month bill credits and two eligible port-ins on Essentials 55 Plus for well-qualified customers with auto pay, plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128GB $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:29 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Take a look at what's in the news. Columbia River Gorge Commission unanimously passed amendments to the National Scenic Area Management Plan to expedite the review process to replace homes and other structures destroyed in disasters, including this past summer's Rowena and Burdoin fires. Although the amendments had been delayed from late fall to get input from tribal governments, that resulted in provisions to do cultural resource inventories when necessary, which NSA Deputy Forest Supervisor Casey Gates said would be expedited. Gorge Commissioner Alex Johnson noting natural disasters will happen again. He thought the commission needs to be prepared for it and needs to do some more discussion on continuing on that issue. Part of the amendment expressly allows a rebuilding landowner to place a recreational vehicle and a storage structure on the property on a temporary basis. The amendment headed to the Secretary of Agriculture now for concurrence. Hood River City Councilors voting to declare Hood River a sanctuary city. The move came after hearing testimony over two meetings from residents asking the city to take a more prominent position in opposition to immigration and customs enforcement operations in the area. There was some concern about losing access to federal loans and grants, but Councilor Gladys Rivera said there is no evidence of cities losing funding over sanctuary laws. All cities in Oregon are required to comply with the State Sanctuary Promise Act, prohibiting state and local police and governments from assisting in the enforcement of federal immigration laws. Hood River City Councilors also deciding to move ahead with more polling for a potential November bond measure after getting a report from consultants on an initial round of questions. Ben Pantinkin of Pantinkin Research Strategy said the survey of about 400 likely voters in December showed an outdated police facility and a lack of affordable housing were the most concern for voters. The poll gave voters an option of four different bond packages, ranging from $27 million for a variety of different projects to $9 million for just a police station only. Only the $27 million package even received a plurality, but was still under 50% approval, and Pantinkin noted the difficulty in building up a majority yes vote. The next round of polling will focus on housing in a police facility. The first set of questions did not ask about a bond for just housing or a combination with police. Temporary lane closures will be in place on roadways approaching both ends of the Hood River White Salmon Bridge on Thursday to support work associated with the Hood River Bridge Replacement Project. The Port of Hood River says the lane closures will be on the Washington side of the bridge from 8:30 to noon on Thursday, then move to the Oregon side from noon to 4:30. Closures are needed to complete on-land geotechnical drilling near the bridge approaches as part of ongoing engineering and design efforts. No work will occur on the bridge deck. Flaggers will be on site to manage traffic safely. Although minimal traffic impacts are anticipated, travelers are encouraged to allow extra time for unforeseen delays. Our current temperatures in the area. It is in Stevenson 36, the Dalles 33, Hood River 34. Mid-Columbia Today continues. Darren Ryan, Raul Marquez, Hood River County Health Department, coming up next.
Looking to level up your fitness game? The Power Station in Hood River is your one-stop spot for strength, sweat, and now indoor pickleball. Yup, is it too hot, too cold, too windy, or crowded? The Power Station has a state-of-the-art indoor pickleball court, perfect for all-weather play, lessons, training, and play with your group. Whether you're crushing weights or dinking at the net, the Power Station keeps you moving strong. Learn more and book your court time now at powerstationhr.com, where Hood River trains and plays.
Wasco County MCR Blanket and Coat Drive is going on right now through February 2026. Give the gift of warmth this winter. Donations benefit St. Vincent de Paul Society and other local agencies. You can make a donation at North Central Public Health District, La Michoacana Grocery Outlet, and Farm Stand. They're asking for warm blankets, adult-sized coats, socks, tarps, sleeping bags, and boots. Please, new or gently used and washed items. For more information, visit ncphd.org/coat drive.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 10, buy one breakfast or lunch and get a second breakfast or lunch half off at Carmen's Kitchen in Bingen. And on page 42, from Del Carpine Automotive, get $50 off any repair or service, including oil changes.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at GorgeRadio.com.
Hello, Goodbyes. Hello, Goodbyes.
KIHR Weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Sunshine today. Highs low to mid-50s with a light wind. Tonight clear with some patchy fog overnight. Low temperatures in the 30s. And again, light easterly winds are expected.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're back. It is 8:34 in the morning on... Oh, we don't have our guest yet. Okay, I thought we did. I was wrong. But that's okay. I can take a couple minutes here. We can wait, obviously. Let's see, what I want to talk about for a couple minutes here. I was ready to jump into my interview and came to the realization I don't have them here yet. A scenic area, and we mentioned that in the news, the management plan. It was good to see the Gorge Commission get that taken care of, finally. I understand the need for tribal concurrence. That part's no problem, getting the input from the tribal governments. No issue there. I just think it could have been done a whole lot faster than this. it should have been done from day one is when it should have happened. I mean, it should have been as it was developed, the ordinance. You know, you can do things on parallel tracks. So that would be my criticism of it. But they're through it now. I'm not a huge fan, as you know, to begin with. Even though I'm not one of these people like who's anti-Gorge Commission, oh, it never should exist, blah, blah, blah. I've never been that either. I've just always been a little bit, you know, it's just one more piece of bureaucracy. I think that's my big problem. It's one more piece of governmental layer that I'm not sure benefits me at all. But I don't disagree with some of the goals. I mean, yeah, I want to preserve the Gorge, etc. Okay, now we're ready. Okay. There, I stumbled through a couple minutes. Now I'm ready to go. Darren Ryan, Raul Marquez, Hood County Health Department. Good morning.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you
Good
doing
morning,
today?
Mark.
Good morning.
Great. Thanks for having us on. Sorry to hear that you guys had a clunky start.
Well, you know, it happens on occasion. I just had to fill for a couple minutes, but I'm okay.
I bet that was great.
Well, let the listeners decide on that one. Darren Rawl is here. We're going to talk today about the Oregon Health Plan and people getting signed up. And I assume, are we in an enrollment period right now?
It's always in an enrollment period. It's not just like regular insurance.
Right.
We can always apply for OHP. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a set time frame, so you can apply at any time.
Why don't we start out with here, with Roland, about the Oregon Health Plan, and maybe give it, define what this is. I think for some people, we throw this around, we use this term Oregon Health Plan, and maybe they don't really know what it is.
Yes, so it's known, it has different names, you know, OHP, which OHP stands for Oregon Health Plan. A lot of people know it as the health insurance or the state insurance. I mean, it just depends. There's so many ways to word it out, but at the end of the day is medical coverage that covers you 100%, any medical visit, dentist visits, prescriptions, and there's a lot more benefits that come to with that.
And this program specifically, a lot of people might know it as Medicaid as well, but we hear most often OHP or Oregon Health Plan. And the idea is that if you are eligible for this program, given your income level or a few other context factors, that then the state will pay 100% of medical costs. So this would mean, for instance, if you're going to a primary care provider or seeing someone at a clinic, you're not paying co-pays and things like that. So it's a really expansive program to allow people to access necessary care without having to use their own money for it.
So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, qualified. I know there's probably some matrix that I definitely don't want to go over on air particularly, but it just is a general picture. Who qualifies for the Oregon Health Plan? Who is the client?
So this is an income-based qualification. So technically it depends on the family size. There is income limits. So, you know, family of one, family of two, you know, you can go up all the way to a family of 10, depending on the size of family. But it is income restricted. I won't go into the income limit.
Right.
They can call me for, you know, further information, but anyone qualifies. Another important tip on that is even if you have employer income, employer provided insurance, you can still apply for OHP and have it as a backup.
Oh, really? Now that I did not know. I mean, I assume there's limitations to that as well.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, the reason I wanted to bring Raul on too is because this program, and I'll just say it, you know, as somebody who's worked in public health for a long time, I still find the program a bit clunky to understand. There's a lot of nuances to it, and it's constantly changing. I'm sure your listeners see Medicaid or OHP in the news all the time. You know, who's eligible, what the income limits are, what it covers is constantly changing. So we're lucky enough at the Hood River County Health Department to have Raul here as an Oregon Health Plan assister. So that's a full-time role that is just dedicated to helping people navigate the system, apply, and ultimately receive benefits. And so I just wanted to highlight that we have that. I'm not sure that everybody knows. You know, there's a few other clinics in the area who also have assisters for Medicaid, and that's just because it's such a complicated system that it really helps to have someone who knows the system well to be able to walk alongside as you apply and enroll.
Raul, then, so someone comes in. Where do you start with folks in terms of helping them down this road?
The first question I ask is, do you currently have insurance? Have you ever had Oregon Health insurance? And, you know, that's not going to make an impact on whether I'm going to tell them apply or don't apply. Second question is family size, you know, and then I start asking income questions and I bring out my income limit sheet. You know, we go over it. I still have them apply because, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't impact anything. And we'll find out, you know, if we can get you approved or not.
You know, what are some of the difficulties? Because that seems, you know, simple enough at the start here. But where does navigating this system, what makes this difficult for people to go down this road?
So a lot of things is people think, you know, there comes any like hidden fees behind it. Some people are just scared that, you know, it can impact them for tax purposes or, you know, who knows. They're just not well informed where this is not impacting your taxes. It's not hidden fees or anything. It's a service provided by the state. to help and get people get in, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can't afford to go to the hospital or go get their regular checkups because, you know, they can cost you an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's OHP that is trying to get people to stay healthy, get their regular checkups.
And I think some of the issues I've seen as well is, you know, with these big application systems that are online, you know, we have clients who have varying degrees of, do they have technology at home? Are they comfortable using a computer? Is the website available in the language that they speak, that they feel comfortable with these, you know, medical terms and insurance terms? So that's why it's really wonderful to have like a person touch point to help walk you through that, because I just think these systems, as we all know, you know, can be really cumbersome to interact with.
Actually, people hear these terms in the news. What they also tend to hear is when it's in the news, it's usually about funding levels, et cetera. Do you find that you've got people who maybe think they can't get covered because the money isn't there to do it?
Yes. A lot of people think that they're over income or that they can only apply individually. So, you know, the bigger the family size is, the higher the income limit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as you mentioned, it's completely income-based here, essentially, the qualifications. Is that right?
Exactly. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the common questions is, you know, I get a lot of word-of-mouth referrals like, oh, my neighbor came in and applied, and he got approved, but I don't know, you know, am I going to get approved? I'm like, you know, each family, each scenario is completely different. So I just always encourage them to apply. It only mm-hmm. takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and then the system will let us know if you got approved, if they need any, you know, income documentation. Because a lot of clients tend to just go online and do their own research, and not all the information provided, you know, through the website, not, you know, whatever they research online is always accurate because things are always being updated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, if I can add, Mark, too, there's also timing that's really mm-hmm. important here. You know, Raul shared with me that in March, the income limit for eligibility will be changing again, as it does, because mm-hmm. it typically is to reflect, you know, cost of living or economic changes. So even if somebody applied last year and perhaps was not deemed eligible, they could then apply this year without, you know, it doesn't ding your record at all to apply multiple times. So they could then be eligible when the income limits are expanded, for mm-hmm. instance. So it's really good to keep your finger on the pulse, so to say, and make sure you know, there might be a chance to come back in and apply.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as you mentioned, income limits change on a year-to-year basis, but so does the income of people as well. You know, if basically, mm-hmm. hopefully, some people are getting raises, et cetera, and they get better jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Can people income themselves out of this program?
Yes. So one of the policies on this is if you have an income change, you are you're supposed to update your income,
mm-hmm.
or come to me and I can go into your profile mm-hmm. and update your income. And now that you bring that up, also Oregon Health Plan is very important for, you know, everybody, but especially those, you know, there's life events that, you know, you get laid off, you mm-hmm. lose your job, and, you know, there comes a lot of stress behind that. And once you lose your job, you technically don't have any guaranteed income mm-hmm. coming in. So that's a perfect example of, you know, come in and apply, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be left with no health insurance. If you had health insurance through that employer, you know, they'll probably just terminate it at the end of the month, and then the next month comes along and you're not in, you don't have health insurance, you know, come in. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to go through an application process?
I would say depending on the family size, but I would give them between 20 and 30 minutes.
Okay, so it's not, I mean, it takes a little time, but it's not horribly time-consuming then. than to go through this.
And I'm giving you the worst case scenario.
that's the worst case. Okay.
Yeah. A lot quicker if you do it in person with Raul.
I'll go the flip side of this. This is probably more of the time consuming part. How long does it take to get an answer?
You know, sometimes we get an instant answer. Sometimes they'll request documents, which I would just upload it if they have it with them right away. Mm. It just depends how fast that you can get those documents to me. Most of the time, I can get you an answer within 24 to 36 hours.
You mentioned documents. I mean, what sort of documentation would commonly be needed?
The common one would be your most recent pay stub if you're employed. That's the most common one.
Mm-hmm. And then, Mark, I just want to add, too, it's important to note that, you know, not all providers, not all clinics take the Oregon Health Plan here locally, but we have some really, you know, shining star clinics that do. I want to shout out to One Community Health, who is one of our main Oregon Health Plan providers of medical services. So it does, you do have to, like with every insurance, you know, make sure you're going to a provider who does accept Oregon Health Plan.
That part, I guess, I did not realize, but then again, I guess it's not like any other health insurance. Not every provider is on every network.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just like to point that out because I think, you know, even though it's a state program where they're paying for everything, it does not mean they will pay for every place. Mm-hmm. So that's just an important distinction I want to make. Mm-hmm.
So if someone is wanting to sign up for the Oregon Health Plan and wants to go through the process, Raul, how do they get a hold of you? How do they make an appointment, I assume? How do they do it?
I typically recommend they make an appointment. I also accept walk-ins. I'm typically here at the health department unless, you know, I'm needed at another institution to assist with OHP applications. But the best number to contact me at is 541-387-7120.
Okay.
And all this information is available on our website, which is hoodrivercounty.gov/health. So you can read a little bit more about Raul and how to get in touch with him.
Darren, I would be remiss at this time of year if I didn't ask you about flu shots, et cetera. How are things going out there?
Well, we are sitting on a lot of flu shots, so I'd love if your listeners would come in and get them from us. You know, again, I did a big push in November, December, but January is still a great time. We're seeing a lot of respiratory illness going around. I'm not sure if you saw on our social media, we did just alert that we've moved from sort of the normal to caution range for respiratory illness transmission in the region. So that's for several counties across the gorge. And that's just a way for us to keep our finger on the pulse of, you know, what rates we're seeing for flu, COVID, RSV, things like that. So I do just encourage people. I'm seeing more and more masking in the community. That's really important. If you're sick, stay home. I know I say it all the time. I'm sure people are tired of hearing me say that, but it does make a difference. You know, I know it's feeling like fake winter out there, but there's still things transmitting around. So please come in, talk to us, get your flu shot, mask up if you can, stay home if you're sick, and please, please, please wash your hands. That's my spiel for today.
there you go. Okay, yep, you covered it. All right, so when you say normal to caution,
normal to now we're in the caution zone.
Okay. Are we seeing more cases than usual right now, or is it kind of a typical flu season?
Yeah, it's quite typical. I wouldn't say we're seeing more than usual. And again, I don't know if you remember last year, but we saw sort of a late spring peak too, sort of this March, April time frame. So I think there's definitely more to come. But right now, I wouldn't say it's atypical of any flu season that we're having. But anything we can do to keep it from creeping up from caution to, you know, very high would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Darren Ryan, Raul Marquez, Hood River County Health Department. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you so much, Mark.
It is 8:52 in the morning. We'll come back and start to wind down the program right after this.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living. We know this decision isn't easy. Choosing assisted living for your parents is a big step. But at Hawks Ridge, we make the transition smoother with a warm, inviting community that feels like home. From engaging social activities to personalized care, we are here to give your loved ones the quality of life they deserve. Let us help you through this journey. Visit Hawks Ridge today and see firsthand how we can be a second family for you and your parents.
Did you know Skyline Health in White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit MySkylineHealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Some things going on in the area. Underwood Conservation District Winter Workshop Series continues this evening. It's on community resiliency, creating diverse pollinator habitat at home and in your community with Xerces Society pesticide specialist Aaron Anderson. 6 o'clock in the evening, Stevenson Community Library. It's free and it's open to the public. White Sand Valley Community Library Puzzle Contest. Team up or go solo to assemble the pre-selected 500-piece puzzle. Friday at 2, all materials are provided. Registration is recommended. Call 509-493-1132. Eagle Watch 2026, which we'll talk about tomorrow on MCT. It's coming up on Saturday. The outdoor headquarters at the Dalles Dam, the indoor headquarters, the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, 9 to 3 there. Wild eagle viewing at multiple outdoor sites, and there'll be an eagle circuit map available at the Discovery Center. Mount Adams Resource Stewards Trivia, Saturday evening at 6. That'll be at the Trout Lake Hall. Forest-themed trivia, all ages are welcome. There's no special nature or forest knowledge required. More information at mountadamsstewart.org. Underwood Community Center Skate Night is going to be on Sunday evening, 4 to 6 at the center on 951 Schoolhouse Road in Underwood. Bring your own gear. It's $3 a skater. 16 and under need an adult present. And Monday night, Hood River Rotary Club, Ski and Ride Night, 3 to 9 at Mount Hood Meadows. You can get your tickets at skihood.com, and that is a great cause. It benefits the Hood River Rotary Scholarship Fund. It is 8:55 in the morning. We'll wrap things up after this.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the costs of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:57 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. On the show tomorrow, Bethany Rittenhouse will join us. We'll talk about Eagle Watch tomorrow. Got another invite into somebody else as well. On Friday, we'll talk about Mountain Ames Chamber of Commerce. That means we'll be joined by Tamara Tappell. And we will also have Matt Coleman, Skyline Hospital CEO. We'll stay over in the White Salmon area in the second half on Friday. They have received some federal funding for their surgical center. And we'll talk to Matt about what that is, what the project's about, what it means for Skyline Hospital. Monday, we'll talk Port of Hood River. And we'll talk the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. Tuesday, we'll talk Hood River County Schools, and we'll talk White Salmon City. And Wednesday, next week, we'll talk to Washington State 17th District Representative Kevin Waters, because the Washington Legislature went into session on Monday. And we'll talk White Salmon Valley Schools with Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. And, of course, ballots will be coming out very soon on their, actually on two things, their bond measure plus the renewal of their, I forget what they call it now. I always forget. It used to be called the M&O levy. And the legislature changed names because they felt like it. And there was a little bit of a change how it was done. But at the same time, I forget what the name of it is now. It's something more bureaucratic. That I remember. It's something more bureaucratic. What a surprise. But we'll do that on Wednesday next week on the show. Talk about that that very important bond measure in the city, in White Salmon, the school district there. For a K-12 to renovate Henkel and Columbia High Schools and move Whitson Elementary School in. But we're done. Out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, our producer, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Thursday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today. 98.3